Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Bala Bhagiri Badadhari Kunja Bihari Gopijana Bala Bhagiri Badadhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana bala bakiri badadhari Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivadadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivadadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivadadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivadadhari Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parivajaka Acharya, Ashtotar Sata Shishi Mad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vachanane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschachide Satarane Hare Krishna and good morning to everyone. This morning we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Today is text number 174. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So word meanings for text number 174. Pranava, Omkara, yea, that which, Mahavakya, transcendental vibration, Ishvarera, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Murti, the form, Pranava, Omkara, Haite, from, Sarva Veda, all Vedic literature, Jagat, of the material world, Utpati, production. Pranava ye Mahavakya Ishvarera Murti. Pranava haite sarva veda jagat utpati. Pranava ye Mahavakya Ishvarera Murti. Pranava haite sarva veda jagat utpati. Pranava ye Mahavakya Ishvarera Murti. Pranava haite sarva veda jagat utpati. Anyone else, ladies? Thank you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The transcendental vibration Omkara is the sound form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All Vedic knowledge and this cosmic manifestation are produced from this sound by sound representation of the Supreme Lord. Purport. Omkara is a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sound. This form of His holy name is accepted as the transcendental vibration, Mahavakya, by virtue of which the temporary material manifestation has come into being. If one takes shelter of the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Omkara, he can realize his constitutional identity and engage in devotional service, even though in conditioned life. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with instructions being given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the difference between impersonal realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth and the personal realization of the Absolute Truth. And so there's a whole storyline of the instruction that's going on in the chapter. But today I thought we would focus on Om, the transcendental sound vibration, Om, apart from the instruction that's being given to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Just look at some of the things that Prabhupada has said about Omkara. Actually, it's very interesting, some of the things that I came across in preparing for this class. But we'll look at Omkara in four categories. One is that Om is transcendental. There's no need to make it American. And you'll get the purport of that as we go through this. Two, that Omkara is not impersonal. There's a general conception about Omkara and chanting Om that it has some impersonal connotation. But that's not true. Although it helps the impersonalists, so we'll hear a little bit about that. And then we're going to try to understand how chanting Om means to remember Krishna. And finally, how our original nature is revealed by Om. So those four areas we'll talk about Om today. And the first area, that Om is transcendental, can't be made American, and there's no need to do so. There's an interesting conversation that took place between Srila Prabhupada and Allen Ginsberg on May 12, 1969 in Columbus, Ohio, where they discuss Om. Allen Ginsberg has come to Srila Prabhupada and he's asking his advice. He's come to ask him his advice because he says that, well, you know, I've been trying to spread the chanting of God's names, Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, and I haven't had much success. And so I'm coming to you to tell me how I can have success. Of course, we know the statement of Chaitanya Charitamrita that one cannot spread the chanting of the holy name throughout the world without being empowered to do so. And so this is a perfect example of how Allen Ginsberg wasn't empowered to do so, but Prabhupada was empowered to do so. And you'll see as I read this conversation between the two of them what the difference in their consciousness was. Allen Ginsberg's consciousness was more on the material platform, and Srila Prabhupada's consciousness naturally was on the transcendental platform. And that's the difference between their success in doing this one way or another. One interesting side note, at least it's interesting for me, is that someone told me recently that Allen Ginsberg was actually chanting Hare Krishna at the famous March on Washington that Martin Luther King led in 1963. I never thought of that historical event, including the chanting of Hare Krishna. But apparently, someone told me Allen Ginsberg was there, and he was chanting Hare Krishna. And it mentions in here that he's been trying since 1963 to spread chanting of Hare Krishna. So at least time-wise, it looks like it works. But that's not mentioned here. That's just a side note. But here's the conversation between Srila Prabhupada and Allen Ginsberg. Allen Ginsberg says, "Well, Your Divine Grace, my so-called popularity doesn't seem to be having much effect. That's why I'm asking you very specifically what to do, because I've been chanting for 5 years, 6 years, since 1963. I've been chanting Hare Krishna on this continent, beginning in Vancouver in July 1963. And I am finding there is a limitation to how many people will join that chant. Or I have found the limitation. Part of the limitation is the fact that it seems strange and new to people here. Srila Prabhupada, they may think it unfamiliar, but there is no loss. Allen Ginsberg, well, and it has become familiar, it might spread a little. Part of the limitation is just a natural resentment or resistance, people wanting a prayer in their own tongue, in their own language. I don't know, for some reason, an American Indian chant would not take hold, or even a Latin chant would not take universal hold. Srila Prabhupada, the Lord's names, though, are a mantra. Allen Ginsberg, and as a result, many of us are asking, is it possible to find an American mantra? Prabhupada, mantra means transcendental sound. You see, take for example, Omkara. Allen Ginsberg, so you think the chanter experiences transcendence by the very nature of the sound? Okay, but now Om is an absolutely natural sound. The way it flows from the throat to the mouth, and even Om, natural as it is, sounds foreign. Srila Prabhupada, Om is natural, yes. Therefore, it is also found as a pranam that begins many longer mantras. Om is accepted. Allen Ginsberg, but even Om sounds foreign here. It's hard to get people to say Om. I tried in Chicago with Om and with Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, but there is no alternative. So Prabhupada, sticking with the transcendental nature of the sound vibration, Omkara, and we can see that his chanting, because he maintained a transcendental understanding of this name and didn't try to opt for an American mantra, he had success, whereas Allen Ginsberg didn't have as great of success of spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna. So Om is transcendental. It's not dependent on time, place, circumstance, country, or chanter. It can give the result. But as I said, there is this idea that Om is somehow or another impersonal. But Prabhupada very clearly explains that that's not the case. And I have here three references from different verses from Prabhupada's books, two from Bhagavad Gita, one from Srimad Bhagavatam, where I'm going to read a small section of the purport where Prabhupada explains that Om is not impersonal, although it is a way in which those covered with impersonalism can approach the personal form of Sri Krishna. So that Om is very merciful in this regard. So the first verse is from Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, famous verse, Raso ham apsakonteya prabhasmi sashishruyayo pranava saravedeshu sabda ke purusham nishu. O son of Kunti, Arjun, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. So it's a famous verse. But here's what Prabhupada says in the purport about Omkara, which is directly referred to pranava. Pranava, the three letters A-U-M, Om. Is anybody an expert Om chanter here? They want to give us an Om? No? No one can give us Om? Om. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. So here's what Prabhupada says in a purport about this. Similarly, pranava, or the Omkara, transcendental sound, used in the beginning of every Vedic hymn to address the Supreme Lord also emanates from him. It is from Krishna. Then he says, because the impersonalists are very much afraid of addressing the Supreme Lord by his innumerable names, they prefer to vibrate the transcendental sound Omkara. So because they're afraid, they don't have any experience with personalism. And so how do you approach the Supreme Lord? How do you begin to approach the Lord when you are covered with impersonalism? Well, the transcendental vibration, Omkara, gives them away. And so impersonalists, yes, have sort of claimed Omkara and are known for chanting Om, but actually it is a means for them to approach the personal form of the Supreme Lord. And that's explained in these other two verses that I referred to. The other one's from Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, where Krishna says, after being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable, Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. So how is it possible to reach the spiritual planets if Omkara is impersonal? Yam yam vapi smram vavam chajachante kalevram tam tam ivaiti konteya sudatsad bhava bhavita. Whatever consciousness we're in at the time of death, that's where we'll go. That's the destination we shall attain. And so Prabhupada, the Krishna is saying in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, if you chant Om when quitting the body, you attain the spiritual planets, not some impersonal liberation. So how is Om impersonal? Prabhupada explains the correct understanding in the purport, very short purport. It is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman, and Lord Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. It is clearly recommended in this age that if one quits his body at the end of his life chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, he will reach the spiritual planets. Similarly, those who are devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet or Goloka Vrindavan, whereas impersonalists remain in the Brahma Jyoti. The personalists also enter many innumerable planets in the spiritual sky known as Vaikuntas. So, Om and Hare Krishna are not different. Prabhupada further emphasizes this with a more elaborate explanation in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, that describes the first steps in God realization. He says there, here's the translation. After sitting in the above manner, making the mind remember the three transcendental letters, A-U-M, Om, and by regulating the breathing process, control the mind so as not to forget the transcendental seed. The transcendental seed, this is Omkara. Omkara is the as we read in the purport here today, it says that Omkara is the representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sound. So how's that different than Hare Krishna, the name of Krishna? Anybody? Well, sound is something that exists. And the name, of course, the name is sound also. But sound, in its, I think Prabhupada said there, in its impersonal form, is not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, Prabhupada says. So Hare Krishna is the sound, the personal aspect of Krishna. The impersonal aspect of transcendental sound is Om, which is not different than Krishna. So, in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gives a purport here that explains this a little bit more. He says, in the Bhagavad Gita, the pranava omkara has been accepted as the direct, literal representation of the Supreme Absolute Truth. One who is not able to chant directly the holy name of the Lord, as recommended above, can easily chant the pranava omkara. This omkara is a note of address, such as, O my Lord, just as Om Hari Om means, O my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we have explained before, the Lord's holy name is identical with the Lord himself, so also is omkara. But persons who are unable to realize the transcendental personal form or name of the Lord on account of their imperfect senses, in other words, the neophytes, are trained to the practice of self-realization by this mechanical process of regulating the breathing function and simultaneously repeating the pranava omkara within the mind. As we have several times expressed, since the transcendental name, form, attributes, and pastimes, etc., of the personality of Godhead are impossible to understand with the present material senses, it is necessary that through the mind, the center of sensual activities, such transcendental realization be set into motion. The devotees directly fix their minds on the person of the Absolute Truth, but one who is unable to accommodate such personal features of the Absolute is disciplined in impersonality to train the mind to make further progress. And so Omkara is a way, it's a facility for those who are covered with impersonalism to train them up so they can gradually approach the personal form of the Supreme Lord. So that's a much different conception of Omkara than we may find in general understanding in the world today, where Om is not so foreign as Allen Ginsberg thought it was. It's well known and widespread at this point in time. So any questions on it so far? Yes, probably. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Can we say that Om is for
fun? Yes. Yeah, Prabhupada said that actually in the purport to that verse in Bhagavad Gita, he said, it is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman, and Lord Krishna are not different. So, yes. Yes, Krishna has varieties of energies, varieties of names, and obviously they're identical, but according to Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, achinta bheda bhetatva, there's differences, and so this distinction can be made between Om as an impersonal sound representing Krishna and Hare Krishna, the direct name of Krishna. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Well, we said achinta bheda bhetatva, so it's an impersonal representation, but it's also contained in Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said that. He said, the impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. So if one chants, Om, you want to say something?
In Shri Radha's
Very good. Very good. We're going to get to that actually in the last section where Om reveals our original nature. So that's good. Okay, so the third section here is entitled Om. Chanting Om means to remember Krishna. And we have another conversation here where Prabhupada is talking with an Indian doctor. And they're talking about the power or the sort of a hierarchy of mantras. And so the subject of Om comes up in their conversation. So we'll read a little bit about this. So the doctor says, and again, this just is entering into their conversation. I have come to mantra, Klem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Namaha. Is that not a very powerful Krishna mantra? Prabhupada, yes. Doctor, that is better than Hare Krishna? Prabhupada, no. Hare Krishna is therefore called Maha Mantra. Doctor, you regard as higher, the higher than any other. Prabhupada, oh yes, therefore it is called Maha Mantra. Doctor, but I was told that the Sudarshan Chakra words, Mahamala, Parakya, anyway, he gives some quote here, that he said that this is a very powerful mantra. Prabhupada, yes, everything in relation with God is powerful, but the name in this age is the most powerful. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Doctor, and the word Om has been praised in the Upanishads, but, Prabhupada, Om Veda Pranavasa Ravedeshu. Krishna says that Rasoham Apsakontaya Prabhasmi Sasasuryo Pranava Sarvedeshu. Pranava is Omkara Sarvedeshu. That Pranava I am. That is the sound representation of Krishna. Doctor, then that one word as a mantra, is it not? Prabhupada, yes. Doctor, the highest sort of word? Prabhupada, no. If you keep that Krishna, that the pranava is the sound representation of Krishna, then it is all right. If you think it's separately powerful than Krishna, that is nam aparad. Doctor, I understand. Yes, if you accept it as Krishna says that I am pranava, if you do remember Krishna by chanting Omkara, then it is all right. Doctor, otherwise Om is only given to sannyasis? Prabhupada, not necessarily. It is not mentioned here. Anyone chanting Vedic mantra, he has to begin with Omkara. Doctor, all mantras begin with Om, Prabhupada. Yes, Omkara. So Sarva Vedishu, Pranava Sarva Vedishu. This is the beginning. Just like we take Bhagavata. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The difficulty is that we consider Krishna is different from Omkara. Doctor, that is a mistake, Prabhupada. That is a mistake. So the purpose of chanting Om, Prabhupada's explaining here, is to remember Krishna. There's no other purpose. And he says quite strongly here that if we think otherwise and we chant, thinking Om is not representing Krishna, then he says that's nam aparad. So anyone chanting Om without this understanding, they're chanting nam aparad. Prabhupada can make such a condemnation of so many people chanting Om these days in the world that's nam aparad because they don't see the connection to Krishna. No.
So, but they still are able to approach the personal form of Krishna by chanting Om.
That's the mercy of the Lord.
Okay. Now, which is more? I mean, is it more aparad or is it more mercy?
She said it depends on the consciousness, right? So it depends on the consciousness of the chanter. Depends on the consciousness of the chanter. Yeah, okay. That's our case of all of us, right? Why are we sitting here? Because although we have been acting and thinking in offensive ways, we're innocent, weren't purposely doing it. But those that purposely propagate an impersonal understanding, who dispute this type of understanding, obviously they're in a different category. And maybe this next verse from Srimad Bhagavatam will help us illustrate that a bit. The verse is, the Narayana Sarasa, the second group of sons, perform penances in the same way as the first. They bathe in the holy water, and by its touch all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras beginning with Omkara and underwent a severe course of austerities. Prabhupada says in a purport, every Vedic mantra is called Brahma because each mantra is preceded by the Brahmakshara Om or Omkara. For example, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thus chanting the Vedic mantra beginning with Omkara is directly chanting Krishna's name. There is no difference. Whether one chants Omkara or addresses the Lord as Krishna, the meaning is the same. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age one chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Harinama Eva Kevalam. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So therefore, although there's no difference, we chant Hare Krishna following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Now, last section here. Our original nature is revealed by Om. The individual soul's original nature to be a servant of the Supreme Lord is what is revealed by Om. And for this, we find reference in Srila Jiva Goswami's Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, where he gives an explanation of the sacred syllable Om. And again, what are the three letters that make up Om?
A-U-M.
Okay. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, the letter A is said to be Lord Vishnu. The letter U is said to be the goddess of fortune. The letter M is said to be their servant, the individual spirit soul. So in this way, the three letters represent the Supreme Lord, his energy, and his servant. Now, there are other places where this same description of the three is, let's say, more rasika, where it describes Krishna and Radha and the living entity, as opposed to Lord Vishnu, the goddess of fortune, and the living entity. But the meaning is same. The Lord, his potency, and his servant are represented by the Omkara, this Om. And so actually, Om, far from being impersonal, it actually represents our original nature as a servant of the Supreme Lord, as confirmed by Srila Jiva Goswami. Further, there are some verses that are in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad which discuss Om, and they also discuss this in a very deep way. As an introduction to that, there's a little statement here. Om, for that matter, is not non-different from the sound of Krishna's flute. Om is never impersonal at any time. All that can be impersonal about Om is the misconception that one chooses to attach to it. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad discusses Om clearly, establishing its non-difference from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they quote the verse here from the Upanishad, and then the translation is given, The sound vibration Om denotes the Chaturvyuha Tattva of Sri Balaram, Padyumna, Aniruddha, and Sri Krishna. As the Om transcends the three qualities of material nature, so also one should know oneself to be beyond the identification with the material body. I am the eternal servitor of Gopal, Sri Krishna, the cowherd boy of Vrindavan. This consciousness must be maintained at all times. And so you can see that in this Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there is, again, further and deeper explanation of how Om represents our original nature as servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a little bit upon the subject matter of Om, since that was mentioned in the verse today in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So any questions or comments on this? Yes, Roji. Yes. And it's an address to the Lord. Prabhupada said here, it's an address to the Lord. So everything Vedic is meant is an address to the Lord, personal. Yes. Yes. Right, right. Misuse is prevalent. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Thank you. You want to say it loud for us?
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes?
A lot of the mantras you can hear all in them.
No, I think it's there in the sound. You know, sound is very subtle, as was demonstrated by Ms. Prabhu. And that we don't hear it when we chant Hare Krishna, I wouldn't make the assumption that means it's not actually there in that sound. How to hear it, how it's in there, you know, I can't explain, but I think because we read that the sound, it's in the sound. Om is contained within Hare Krishna. So the subtle expressions of the sound variation Hare Krishna, I take from that the subtle expressions of chanting Hare Krishna include the syllable Om somehow. I don't know how. Maybe do you know the answer to that? Yeah, well, the statement here is that the Prabhupada says that the sound contains, it says here, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. So how that is, I can't explain, but this is directly from his purport into Bhagavad Gita, where he says that the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. So somehow or another, it's there. Yeah, well, there's certainly various subtleties to even sound vibration we make, you know. I mean, I can say something to you in one word, one way, and you get a certain meaning, and I say it another with a different intonation, you get a different meaning. So spiritual sound vibration has to be much more subtle than just material sound vibration. And so how that sound is there in a subtle expression of the sound vibration, as I said, I can't explain, but it's Prabhupada says it's there. Yes?
I was just going to advertise Ravi Shankar and George Harrison did an album about chants in India, and they're all Sanskrit chants, very beautiful. I have a copy because we love George. But he did that in the 90s, and every single mantra begins and ends with it.
Okay, we'll end there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.